Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Late Flag, the aftermatch podcast for the LFC Red Poets. I'm your host, Les Lawson, and I'm joined tonight by Tom Keegan, Pete Warburton, and Ben Kent Jr. Have you look back on what is it, 4 days that have put a massive dent into Liverpool's prospects for the remainder of the season? I just want to ask you a quick question before we move on and talk about today's game. And just to let everybody know as well that we'll also be talking about the game against Atlanta last Thursday before we preview the second leg this Thursday. So that's going to be the format of the show. But I'd like to go to you first on this one, Tom, and just ask you, are you feeling any better now or any more optimistic now about Liverpool's chances for the league than you were when you walked out to Anfield about 4 o'clock this afternoon?
Of course, when I heard the Arsenal results, I was happy. But as I was just saying before we came on, the City are a different animal to Arsenal. History tells you that when they get the noses in front, that very rarely did they give other teams a sniff. And I know this team, you think this team is not quite as strong as other City teams, but they just don't, they're relentless when they get into this position. And I think, do you know what, Les? Looking at us, and I think at the moment, we need a pickup from somewhere. And we'll talk about it later on as we go. But I'm a more optimistic after the results. A little bit, yeah, probably, but it's only a little tiny bit.
Pete, how about yourself? Are you more optimistic now than you were when you walked out of Anfield about 4 o'clock this afternoon?
I wouldn't say I'm more optimistic. I'm probably less pessimistic, I'm going to put it that way. I didn't see Arsenal. I was saying to the lads on the way out, I said, if Arsenal need any gear whatsoever, that's given them that today. The Crystal Palace got the results at our place. I thought if there were any nerves at all, if we'd have won today and gone top, it might have. I said to them, I think that might have put a bit of pressure on. But I didn't get to see the Arsenal game. But I believe Villa played really well. He defended well and took the chances when he came. They actually. When I was driving back home, I heard he did the post as well. Watkins did the post first half. So I'd say I'm less pessimistic more than optimistic. But like Tom says, you just feel Man City. You know, I'm looking at their fixtures now, and I know they've got to go down to Tottenham. And they've got Brighton away, I think, next league match, but. It's going to be a tall order now. All we can do. I thought the coming week was going to define our season, where we had the away game in Italy, and then the three Premier League games away in a week. And I thought that's going to define our season. I just hope today wasn't the one. But yeah. So you've still got to hold out a bit of hope. But to what's the name to. To rely on City to drop points, I think that might be a big ask.
Ben, where are you sort of sitting on that one?
If you want my honest opinion, Les, I think the league's gone. And I think it went when I messaged my dad halfway through the second half at Old Trafford, when we didn't capitalise on being more than 1-0 up in the first half. And ever since half-time at Old Trafford, we've been awful. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say we haven't, because we have. We were awful on Thursday. We were awful today. We look nervous. We came out of the tracks, and I said to my dad, there was only four players in the team today that have won the league when we won it in 2020. And you could see that they were the players that were calm, and everyone else just looked nervous. McAllister, who's been brilliant of late, didn't look the player he was. And I think that set the tone. The whole team just looked off it. And I was expecting a reaction from Thursday, and it just didn't come. We can't rely on Man City dropping points, but we need Arsenal to drop a point as well. And they probably will. But I can't sit here now and say that we're going to win the last six games because ultimately we're not showing the form of champions. I hope I'm wrong. I rarely do, but at the moment I can't see it.
From my point of view, I walked out at Anfield at 4 o'clock, feeling that, looking at it, and thought, for Liverpool to have a chance of winning the league, Arsenal have got to drop some points today, because I can't see Arsenal dropping points at Tottenham. Right, I'm the eternal optimist, so I think Liverpool can win every game they go into, no matter whether they're in good, bad, or in different form. I don't think Liverpool have played as bad as people have made out today. Our finishing has let us down, but I thought, we've done enough to have won two games today by a number of goals. The worrying thing is that we're not finishing our chances. We'll come to that later on.
I don't think
But
it's just
us
that though,
when
Les. We're conceding chances as well.
yeah,
That that's the thing. So.
I know. But we'll come to that. But when and I didn't, like Pete, I didn't watch the Arsenal game because I wasn't in the mood to watch it, because the last thing I wanted to do was see another group of fans celebrating a really important victory when we've just walked out of Anfield and feeling that, oh, we've just sort of said goodbye to our tight rope. So when I heard that the Villa had won, that gave me a little bit of a boost. I do think City will drop points between now and the end of the season. And I've always thought, and I've said on this podcast a number of times over the last few weeks, that I think Tottenham are going to be the kingmakers or the king breakers. Now, I know we'll all say, oh, when you look at City's running, you know what I mean? That, it's dead easy for them. And on paper it is, but you don't play football on paper. On paper, everybody expected Liverpool to be, Palace today, and we didn't. So, and everybody then expected Arsenal to beat Villa, and they didn't. And I just wonder, and you touched on something there, Ben, when you said, before that, and Tom said, that I'd said, and I'll say it again, that I don't think this City team are as good as some of the City teams in the past. And you're right, this Liverpool team isn't probably as good as some of the Liverpool teams in the past. But football is a funny game, as Tom said. You know what I mean? And you can sometimes win the league when you don't deserve to, in terms of compared to other sort of Liverpool teams in the past, let us say, where you've sort of hung your hat on them and thought, we could do this, and we've missed out on, when we've got 97 points, we've missed out when we've got, I think, 93 points and not won the league. So it's a funny game, and I think Pete summed it up really well, and I'd never thought about it like that. Because I was going to say I'm more optimistic than I was, but I'm maybe not as pessimistic as I was, and I think that's a good way of putting it. So, I'm more, I've got a little bit of my spirit back now, that if we'd have been doing this podcast like 2, 3 hours ago, I wouldn't have had. So we'll now move on and we'll look at back at today's game. And Pete, I'll start with you on this one. What did you make of the starting 11 that Jürgen come up with? It was a shock to me that Ali was back. And the other thing that shocked me really was that Curtis Jones was given another start instead of Szoboszlai. So I don't know what you thought about that, Pete.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Ali back, to be honest. There was no sort of pre-match rumours that he was on his way back. The back four you probably could have picked, as I say, it's normally Kanate or Kwanzaa, but it's probably the first choice back four otherwise. And yet I was slightly surprised that Curtis got the nod because, pardon me, I thought he looked off the pace against Atalanta. I didn't think he looked 100% fit. The front three probably picked themselves. I know Jota's sort of available now, but he probably wasn't ready for a start. So yeah, they were the two positions, goalkeeper and sort of midfield, that were a slightly sort of a surprise. I think I think myself, I'd have probably started Szoboszlai midfield with Endo and McAllister, which I think is probably our strongest midfield at the minute. So yeah, it was a slight surprise, but it was nice to see Ali back, between the sticks anyway. But yeah, but on paper, you look at Palace as well. I mean, they've got that kid on the who plays in Salah's position, Elise. I think he's a fantastic player. And he's coming back with fitness as well. So, but on paper, it looks strong enough to win the game.
Tom, what did you make of the decision to start with Curtis over Szoboszlai? Personally, I was shocked by that, especially after the way he performed, on Thursday night and then was taken off at half time. I don't think he'd done enough on Thursday or when he come on at Old Trafford last Sunday to warrant getting the starting, berth, in the in today's game, which we looked at it as a must-win game, and we wanted a bounce back. We're both Curtis fans. We're not criticising him for being a poor footballer, just that I don't think he'd done enough really to get a place in the starting 11. I don't know what you thought about that.
No, but I was a bit shocked at Curtis to play, to be honest. I thought Szoboszlai would have started, but then again, I was surprised. You could be surprised that Endo played because he was shocking against Atalanta as well. Absolutely woeful. So the two of them going into the midfield after both really struggling, like in the Atalanta game. That really, it didn't sort of fill you. You just hope with Curtis that he picks up. And today, the lad, to be fair to the lad, he looked off the pace completely all the way through the game, didn't he? We'll talk about his contributions to the game, but the midfield never, even like from the early, again, what I've been saying week after week after week after week. We started slowly again. We allowed them to come on to us. Like we give them the ball and we allowed them to come on to us. And it's been the same start to every game for the last 5 or 6 games. Like we're starting really slow. You're watching them come out and you're watching them warm up. And then when you warm up and they come onto the pitch, it bears no relevance. So I was a bit. I was shocked that Curtis got the start over Szoboszlai, to be honest.
What was your feeling on the team, Ben? Obviously, we were all happy to see Ali back, although, you're wondering, what sort of rhythm he would be in after being out for so long. But you had to get him in sometime, and I think today was probably a good a time as any. And then the only other really contentious selection really was Tom threw Endo into the frame there. And he's got a point, to be fair. So what did you make of the midfield that was selected?
It wouldn't have been the midfield that I would have selected. So when I was going into the car, I wouldn't have played Szoboszlai because I thought he was awful midweek, to be honest, when he came on, a shadow of him, the player that we know he can be. But I thought Harvey was really unlucky not to get a start. I said to my dad in the car, my midfield three would have been Endo, McAllister, and Harvey Elliott. I'm not really quite sure what he needs to do to get a start at the moment. But I'm sure we'll get onto that later in the game. The other contentious one for me starting was Darwin, was Nunes up front. I thought Gakpo was our best forward player in the week, and I was expecting him to have a shout of starting ahead of Nunes. But I would have started Ali if Ali was anywhere near fit. I'd always play him. As good as Keller has been, you can't compare the two. So if Ali's fit, he plays for me. So I think, yeah, and got that one right. But I think there's a few questions that need to be asked of that team, but we don't know what's happening behind the scenes, do we? We don't know how they're training, but I think, in hindsight, probably Jürgen will have probably made a few changes if he could have done. But I don't think starting Jones was something that I looked at and was worried about because there is a player there. And I don't think he did particularly bad. I think you could probably argue that Endo was worse in the week than Jones. So it's one of them. I think we have got a lot of players to pick from. The other one that I was quite shocked about was Trent not starting again. I said to my dad on the in the car on the way up, like I expect Trent to start. I thought the fact that he didn't get any minutes midweek. I just thought that that was an indication that he might start, but hey ho, it was just the way it was, wasn't
Peace. Tommy made a good point, didn't he? A couple of minutes ago, when he said that once again, Liverpool had a really, really slow start. And again, within the first 5 or 6 minutes or so, they created another decent chance for which they could have been 1-0 up. And then a few minutes later, they scored probably one of the best goals that an opposition team has scored at Anfield in terms of the build up. But I thought, and I think Ben might have just said there, and Tom said as well, that Curtis looked off the pace. And I don't know whether the lads will back me up on this one. You might not have had the best view of it from your seat in the main stand. But Curtis was a yard slow getting to win the tackle. Where everything sort of started to break from. And then, we're 1-0 down. And I just wondered you've been going to the game, a lot of years now. And what do you put this slow start down to? Because it's happening now, game after game after game, isn't it? I mean, against Sheffield United, but for Kelleher, we'd have been down in the first couple of minutes there. Brighton go ahead early doors. We started probably okay last week against United, but then the problem started in the second half. So why do you think this is? What's your view on it all, mate?
I honestly don't know the reason for it, to be honest. I mean, if I'm sure if Jürgen knew, we'd be addressing it. But I was saying on the way down to the ground, we've got to start at a reasonable tempo today. And like you say, within 2 or 3 minutes, they could have gone one up early doors. And it just seems to be something that's symptomatic of our season, really. I mean, the number of times we've gone behind. But the number of games where we start so sluggishly, I mean, we used to blame the half 12 kickoffs or the, the after the international breaks or after the Thursday night game. But for some reason, we start awfully slow. And today, of all days, was the day we needed to be on it from the start, to be honest, because they're a very good technical side, Palace, but they're also very physical as well. They've got some big lads in that side. I thought the goal, to be honest, I watched the replay of it, and I just thought we never got close to them. They did some really good passing. There was about five or six passes, and not one of our players got close to it. And then the lad got to the byline, Mitchell, I think it was, crossed it, and it went through Endo, and there was just no one there. It sort of bypassed Kanate, and Van Dijk was further back, and it was a simple chance really for the. But as I to put it in, but I honestly can't put my finger on why we start games so slow. We always seem to concede chances against teams, whether it be away from home or at home. We always seem to be very, very sluggish, and it sort of carries on through the game, to be honest. No, we'd speak about it later, but I think we needed a lot more tempo in our game today, and it didn't really come. It didn't come quick enough, but it didn't come at all in some periods of the play. We were very lethargic, especially getting the ball from back to front. It was very slow, and it was just letting Palace filter back and get everyone behind the ball. So I think if I don't know the reason, I would hope Jürgen Klopp sorted out what's going on. But as I say, we start awfully slow, and it's most games, that we're like that.
Tom, you touched on this before when we were talking about the team selection. And, I go into the game today and I'm thinking to myself, especially after Thursday night, I think, right, what Liverpool want to do today here is start off and do the heavy metal football that Jürgen was famous for. You know, some of the stars that we used to have. You're wondering when we, you know, when we got the 97 points, and also when we, you know, when we actually won the league and went, you know, 21, 23 out of the first 24 league games. But again, we give the opposition chances before we'd warmed up, so to speak. And it's so frustrating, isn't it? I you know, I can't put my finger on the reason why they do it or why it happens. It's like we've become more of a technical team under Jürgen and under this team. And it seems as though we need time to sort of work out what the opposition are doing before we can oppose ourselves on the game, rather than just saying, right, let's go for it right from the first whistle. I don't know whether you agree with that or...
Yeah, to a certain point, Les. Yeah, do you know what I want to use? I'm going to use a word. I use a word that you use quite a lot. And do you know what? I was talking to Ali at half-time and we were having a chat and we were talking about things. And I said to him, do you know what Jürgen said why he's leaving? Because he can't get himself, you know, like he took it to the limits of what he feels he can do, you know, with the team, with himself. And I look at us and the way we start the game, but for the last few games, and you're thinking, we look a tired team with tired legs and tired minds, lacking in confidence. And there's the confidence word, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think Darwin Núñez looks at the moment like he couldn't hit a barn door, you know, like, and he just plays. Mo looks. Ali made a great point to me today, and he pointed it out about something that he'd heard. It's quite interesting, this, you know, because from a medical point of view, from where he looks at, he said he listened to a podcast where Rooney was talking about playing up for the 12:30 kickoff, and he said you find yourself eating loads of pasta and loads of protein before at 9:30 in the morning to get yourself ready for the game. And we've got two players in the team who are fasting during, you know, like during Ramadan. And you've got players, he said, Ali said to me today, it must take something out of them physically, you know. And I think, I was thinking back, Mo hasn't looked, we've been saying Mo looks like he's finished, he, you know, like he's going to, he looks a shadow of the player, isn't he, Mo? So, the confidence level, you've got nobody up front at the moment who looks confident in front of goal. And like, you know, players who look tired and lost. And I think that's why we're not starting fast, Les. I don't think you've got it in them.
Yeah, Ben, it is really a strange phenomenon that's happened to Liverpool. And you always felt as though there was going to be an occasion where the opposition would score first at Anfield and Liverpool wouldn't get back, because I can't remember the last time really that Liverpool sort of started off a game quickly and went ahead without having to come back. And when you think of some of the fixtures we've had, you know, over the last sort of few months, you know, we've rolled our luck a little bit. And today, you know, we went a goal behind. And probably after we went a goal behind, you know, they had another couple of chances, did Palace. But he didn't create maybe as much as some of the other clubs did when, you know, Kelleher was making really good saves. And we sort of got ourselves back in control of the game and started creating chances ourselves. You know, we hit the bar, Núñez made the keeper make a really good save. The Annie Road end, you know, Salah tried one of his, you know, left footers into the opposite corner. And, you know, again, he didn't really get any power in it and the keeper made a comfortable save. But you felt as though they were still quite dangerous on the break. But Liverpool were creating enough chances to have gone back in level at half time, but we just didn't seem to be able to, you know, to find the killer pass, or when the killer pass was made, you know, the finish was lacking.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I do think we look nervous, and confidence in football is huge, isn't it? And we just, for the life of us, since the game at United, we haven't got it. And I think conceding the first goal, we created numerous chances throughout the whole game. We created enough there to win 3 or 4 games. But saying that, we did give up a lot of chances as well. And it's funny, isn't it? Like, I mean, I think if we would have equalised at any point in that game, I do think we would have gone on and won it, because I think the momentum would have changed, but we haven't got the momentum at the moment. I think Andy Robertson was the only one doing any kind of long burst and runs. I feel like we made the pitch too narrow. We were predictable in our play. We weren't stretching it enough. You talked about earlier about how we used to concede chances, and we did when we won the league. But we played a totally different style of play. You referred to it as the style that Jürgen brought in, the high metal football, the high pressing football, heavy metal football. But we don't seem to do that now. We're not stretching the pitch. I said, like, yeah, I don't know, I've missed Sadio Mane. I used to absolutely love him. But the way he used to play the ball and just stretch the front line and stretch the defence, we don't have that now. And as good as what Diaz has been of late, he was narrow today. And so was Mo. Like, Mo didn't have his good game at all. Like, he didn't look like the Mo Salah that we know and love. And, you know, like I said, Robertson was the only one touching the touchline and stretching the team. And I do feel like we played into Palace's hands. Like, at half-time, I said to the lads, their front three, putting our front three to show, really, because they were brilliant. Like that, Eze and Elise. I know that they've got a torrid injury record this season. They've been really unlucky, but they were brilliant in that first half. And that Mateta, he's a proper unit, isn't he? He caused us... We did struggle to deal with him a lot. Sometimes we've said this a lot, haven't we, of late? You have to hold your hands up and say the opposition played well. They did. It wasn't the fact that we didn't play well. We didn't. But the opposition did do what they wanted to do. They're so much better than what they were under Hodgson. But it's one of them. The more I think about today, it's obviously hugely disappointing. It's not the end of the world. We are creating so many chances. If we weren't creating chances, we'd have a massive problem. I did watch the Arsenal game today. I watched the second half anyway. I watched the last hour after I got home. Arsenal were poor, really poor. They didn't create anything. So it was the total opposite of how we played. And Villa looked good. Like on, they hit the post in the first half. They were unlucky. They hit the inside of the post and it bounced out for across the goal. It looked like it was going in, but it went out for a goal kick, the way it curved. But then they hit it in the second half as well, through Tielemans. It hit the bar and the post, a bit like Harvey Elliott in the week. Villa fully deserved that win. Like, fully deserved it. It wasn't a shock when they scored and got the second one. So I think as long as we get in front in the next game, I think we'll be fine. And I think that will settle a lot of the nerves. We just need to stop conceding the first goal. I think is it 10 games at Anfield now we haven't kept a clean sheet?
Yeah, that's what I was saying before. You know, I can't remember.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, in
time that we started the game at Anfield and went ahead and sort of won the game. You know what I think it was? It was probably Chelsea.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was probably Chelsea and then Newcastle.
You know, Chelsea wasn't a clean sheet, was it?
No, but what I'm saying is we got ahead against...
Ah, Chelsea. Right, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I mean. We got ahead against both Chelsea and Newcastle.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were... I mean, but even though in that Chelsea game, you know, they created a good chance before we did score.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And Pete, just coming back to you a little minute on this one. You know, there was a situation and, you know, Andy Robertson did absolutely brilliantly in the first half. And you might not have seen it clearly from your end. But they got a break and Virgil slipped. And I think it was that Mateta was clean through and he chipped Ali. And Robbo come from nowhere to do a magnificent clearance off the line to stop us from going two down. Did you get much of, did you realise how brilliant a clearance that was from where you were sitting in the main stampede?
I mean, the first thing I did was look, obviously, to the ref and the liner, because it's the technology, isn't it? And I was amazed that the ball didn't go over the line, to be honest. But it was just very, very reminiscent of the Gerrard slip. It was just like deja vu, and it was frightening, to be honest. But yeah, I've seen it since, and I think maybe at only half the ball cleared the line. It was an excellent clearance. It was reminiscent of the one that Milner did against Bournemouth two or three seasons ago, when he chased back at the road end. I had a better view of that. But I honestly thought it was in. And as I say, it was a fantastic save on the line from Robbo to clear the ball. And as I say, the first thing I did was look at the officials, thinking he was gonna say it, you know, he'd had the beep on his arm to say it crossed the line. But it was just, again, it was just, you can't legislate for people slipping over. I mean, the Tottenham centre half did it twice yesterday, and he gifted Newcastle two goals. And it's just, these things sometimes happen. But I think it's just part and parcel of our lethargic. We look at the back, we take an age to get the ball moving. And I think Ben's right. We've got to get the pitch wider. And I don't mean that literally, but I mean, we've got to, you know, get people on the touchline. And the only way to get around these teams that corral the penalty box is not to try and play stupid little 1-2-3s and, you know, in the D, but it's to get wide. And we did that on occasion. We did get some crosses in, but they were just whizzing across the 6-yard line and no one was anticipating anything. So yeah, it was a good save by Robbo. And I thought, well, if they'd have gone 2 up, it would have been a mountain to climb, as it proved there. It didn't really make a heap of the difference, to be honest. But it was a fantastic goal line clearance from him anyway. He had a good first half, Robbo, as well. He looked probably our most promising attacker. He was trying to open up the defence. He was making some really good runs, both wide and coming in field as well.
Tom, so we go in one down at half time, and you sent me a text to say, you know, we've got to get Jones and Endo off here. In the end, it ended up with Endo going off and supposedly coming on. Were you just happy with the one change, or would you have still took Curtis off at that point? Because I did agree with what you were saying, to be fair.
Yeah, I would have took the two of them off, Les, at that stage. Maybe I think I'd probably agree with Bennett. And even if you'd have put Harvey Elliott on and Szoboszlai, you know, and put Maka back in the six. I just think the two of them were slowing the play down. You know what I mean? Like when we got the ball, the two of them, I think they pressed really well, and teams are coming to Anfield, aren't they, with the low block all the time. You know, if they can get a goal up, all the better, and then it forces Liverpool to sort of fight for space. And as Peter and Ben have already indicated, with Trent not being in the side and like Robbo not having been in the side recently, we've got very little width. You've got Mo out there with two players on them. You've got
Tom, can I just ask you something a sec? You know what you're talking about, Trent and width. Do you not feel as though when Trent is playing, we don't get the width on the right-hand side anyway? Because He seems to come more in the middle now. And you look at the right-hand side and there's nobody over there. I mean, you tell me the last time when you saw Trent playing, where he got to the byline, or he's overlapping Mo. He's always inside now.
He did, yeah, but the difference with him today, he went over to the right and he was playing. He was doing something that we haven't done for ages, switching the play. He was playing the balls across the play. Quite a few of them didn't reach the target, but I would have expected that. He's been out for a long, long time since.
That will come.
But I think what he does, he gives you, once he starts getting his fitness back and his game time, he will go that's the one, the lung burst and runs and down to the line and starting to pull balls across. But what he does widen the pitch, he does stretch the play. I think that's what we've missed. And like what Ben and Peter both said, you've got Diaz out on one wing with two players on him. You've got Mo on the other with two players on him. And nobody overlapping or, you know, like, or even showing to take the ball on. You know,
I think that was, I think that improved in the second half. When
it did very much so in the second half.
Whereas in the first half, Curtis wasn't doing it. You know what I mean? So you've got, when you've got Curtis and Maka both in the same side, in my opinion, your midfield is then too static in terms of they both like to do the same thing, slow the ball down, look for a pass. But then you've got nobody making the runs. When supposedly I come on, he was starting to make runs, so we were stretching their defence. Curtis doesn't do that so much.
Gakpo as well. When Gakpo came on, he was doing the overlap or stretching the pitch a bit more.
He was moving out wide as well, wasn't he, Gakpo?
Yeah.
You know, so I think with Curtis, it's safety first, isn't it? He seems to have gone back into his safety role at the moment, which, to be fair to him, but you know, I feel harsh criticising him because we was not said. Because
you can
know
say
when
a player has had a bad game, Tom, without it being a criticism of
No,
the,
I don't mean Les, don't you let me finish. But coming back from injury, you know, like, and it's been a long injury, and we know what we say, it takes a player 3 or 4 or 5 games to get his sharpness back. So expecting these players to come back and then hit the ground running and be back to the, you know, to the total best. I think maybe I was being a bit harsh on him, you know, but I thought he was slow today, and the chance he missed was unforgivable, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Ben, the second half, I mean, you know, we've got a, I know we're a different vantage point in the cup, but we've got a great view of some of them chances in the second half, and you just felt, didn't you, that it was one of those games where if we'd have been playing now,
yeah,
you know, we still wouldn't have scored. You had the Curtis Jones one that Tommy's, you know, just, you know, mentioned there, and he doesn't even hit the target, it goes wide.
It was like Diaz against Man City, wasn't it? It was a carbon copy of it.
I thought it was worse because he's in the box, Curtis, where Diaz is sort of running, you know, Diaz hits from sort of outside the box because the keeper's come out. But Curtis only has to get his on target, and it goes like a foot wide. Then you've got Robbo and Nunes, and Robbo's going through, and Nunes gets in his way, and ultimately cocks that up. Then you've got Jota's one. Then you've got Jota's going to put one in. Yeah, Jota's got one where he's got the whole of the goal to aim at, and he hits a defender.
I know.
Then there's the one where it gets headed down,
yeah,
and everybody's going for it. Nobody can get it. Then I can't remember who it is. Somebody, I think it was supposedly, I pulls one across,
yeah,
and it goes to Jota, and Jota's just gone about to put it in. And Salah comes in front of him,
and it hits him.
Yeah,
it hits him.
Salah had one after that as well.
Yeah,
at the end in injury time.
Salah hit one, and Jota was running across the line. It hit him.
Yeah.
I think towards the end there, it was too many cooks, wasn't it, up front?
Yeah.
You know,
like I've said a few times, like, nerves was definitely playing part in it. Like, the Curtis Jones one was bad, and I feel for him. I genuinely do, because he's a Liverpool lad, and he looked absolutely devastated when he came off.
I'll tell you what, Ben,
he's gonna struggle to sleep tonight, because you could see how...
He won't be the only one, Ben. I think we all will.
I tell you what, I've never seen a player run off the football pitch so quick in my life, lad.
No,
you know, when he got substituted, he shot off. I've never seen anybody run across the pitch so fast.
But you're right, though. I mean, we didn't look like we were scoring. I had that, you know, that horrible feeling the first half when you just think it's not our day. You know, and it started when we hit the post in the first half, and I thought it was in, and it was just blooming deja vu from Thursday again. Because
Yeah.
Thursday we didn't look like scoring. Today we didn't look like scoring. I know we scored two at Old Trafford, but we could have had an absolute hatful. We didn't
Yeah.
really look like scoring there. These performances have been coming. Like, and I can't put my finger on it. Like, I don't know if it's just nerves, if it's tactical. Part of me thinks, and it's a horrible thing to say, is it the fact that we've gone too strong in the domestic cups and it's took it out of us? Like, the fact that now, like, we are starting to look tired, that
Yeah.
we haven't particularly managed the squad. I mean, you look back to the FA Cup and the League Cup. And like two things, the West Ham game at home when we went ridiculously strong and we won it like 5-0 or something like that, and we got injuries in it. But then against Arsenal away, obviously we all wanted to win in the cup, but in hindsight, and I think we said it before the game, like we all would have just sacrificed the FA Cup at that point. But it's one of them because I absolutely love the domestic cups and they've been absolutely brilliant. But it's getting to the point now where it's probably cost us two leagues. But we'll never know. But
You don't know, do you? Because, as I say, you don't know what's going to happen over the next few weeks with Manchester City with the extra games they've got against, Real Madrid, and then they're likely to get through that, and then
can I
they'll
ask
have.
you a question now, Les? If you
Yeah,
were
yeah,
offered City to beat Real Madrid.
yeah. So all day,
Yeah.
all day. You know what I mean? So they've got another two games to worry about. Because I think Arsenal have proved today and Liverpool have proved today, to be fair.
Yeah.
And I think Manchester City, when the fixtures come out, they couldn't believe their luck that after the first leg of a European or Champions League quarter final, that they've got Luton at home. They
Well.
couldn't have picked that game any better. It's always difficult. If you look back over the years, where Liverpool and Man City and all the other teams have played in Europe, the game after has always been a really difficult game, and to get the points, and the longer they go in that competition, and I hope that when they play Chelsea next weekend in the FA Cup, I hope that game goes to extra time. I
Penalties,
hope the game against Real Madrid is a draw at the end of 90 minutes and goes to the time. I hope the same for the Arsenal game. You know what I mean? And if Liverpool go out now, I'm a great believer in, if your name's on a trophy, right, and any Liverpool supporter should adhere to this. If your name's on a trophy, then you will win that trophy. Right. No mind. No, never mind if there's a blip along the way. And I just, as I said before, I've been buoyed a little bit by the Arsenal results, because if Arsenal had won today, I couldn't have seen two games, to be fair, where Arsenal would have dropped points.
I've never been worried about Arsenal, you know. Like, I think I've just got into the mindset now where I've been solely focused on City. And I think we had the conversation before the City Arsenal game, and I didn't want City to win it because of this. But I always think Arsenal will drop off. Like, I think you look at the mentality of that team. And I think a lot of it is to do with the manager and how crazy he is on the touchline. And he's not calm. And you look at Pep, and for the most part, I know he does this stupid thing with his antics and stuff, but he knows what he's doing. Whereas I don't think Arteta does. And I think that translates onto the pitch.
Yeah, I mean it is sort of going to be a real sort of nervous 6 weeks to come, and now we're focusing on hoping the City drop points. But just coming back to today's game, Pete, it was just one of them, wasn't it, where you just thought that, and you've seen many of them over the years against different opposition, where the day just comes and no matter who you're playing, which players you've got up front, or which opposition you're playing against, they'll just become a game where no matter how much you try, the ball won't go in. And today falls into that category for me. Because if you ask me, did Liverpool deserve to lose that game today? I would 100% say no. Did Crystal Palace play well? Yes, they did. Did they do enough to win the game? No, they didn't. They won the game because they got lucky at different times. And that's happened to Liverpool before in the past, by the way. You know, where Liverpool have gone into a game and they've won the game, you know, 1-0 or 2-1 or something. And, you know, another good example of this, you know, and this might give people a little bit more of a straw to cross back. Just remember back to 2001 and the FA Cup final against Arsenal. If Liverpool had lost that game 7-1, it wouldn't have been a sort of poor reflection of the game. But Arsenal tried and tried and tried, and no matter how much they tried, they couldn't score. And then when they did score, Liverpool had probably two chances in the game and took them.
Yeah. It's like you say, it is all about taking chances. And I'm scratching my head. I mean, Atalanta, it could have been two up before they scored. And if you scored the first goal, like the lads have said, it's a totally different complexion on the game. You know, but I just don't know why we're creating and having so many shots, creating chances, having so many shots. I mean, I think their goalie, more through luck than judgment, he stopped a few today. I think he just made himself big. And I don't think he was... I can't remember him pulling off any worldies as such, but he just seemed to find the right position. And like you say, I think it started for us when Endo hit the bar, to be honest. And we all just looked at one another, and one of the lads said, "Here we go again. It's going to be one of those, isn't it?" And that was like after half an hour, I think, when Endo hit the bar. And you think, no, we've got an hour of the game to go. We're going to create chances. And we did create chances. It's just, I just don't know what the problem is. I don't know if they're snatching it. You know, it is a bit of nerves and they're snatching at chances, or it's like the C word. Maybe they're not confident. I don't know. There's been occasions, not just today, but in other games, where they've tried to score the perfect goal by walking it in. And I've said for a couple of times now, we can't go on all this season conceding the first goal, because we're not always going to have either the luck or the fortitude to win the game. It's not going to happen every time. You keep going behind in the football match, and as good as you might, you know, as good as you are and create chances like we did today, there's going to come a day when you come unstuck, and today it's coming to roost, doesn't it?
Yeah, Tom, you know, we come out of the, you know, final whistle goes, you know, we've lost the game 1-0, we're all trudging out of Anfield with our, you know, heads down, you know what I mean, feeling really, really low and feeling as though, you know, that's the end. We've now got a lifeline, as we discussed before, with Arsenal losing. You're the senior poet, let us say. So you've sort of seen more Liverpool games than I have. You know, why is it that, over the years, you know, whichever Liverpool team you talk about, whether it be the Hunt St John, Thompson team, Keegan, Highway, Toshak, Dalglish, Rush, Suarez, Sturridge, you know, you can go through Fowler. You know, why is it that on occasions, no matter what you do, the ball won't go in? Why do you think that those games happen? And let's hope what happens to City before, you know, the end of the season. But it's strange, isn't it, how you can go through games. I mean, you know, if Liverpool had scored 10 goals in the last two games, it wouldn't have flattered us. And yet we've come out and scored none.
You hit the nail on the head before, you know. Football is like that. Some days you look around and you think to yourself, it doesn't matter what you do, it's not going to go in for you. And I said to you, every team has that. You know, and I said, remember on the Tingyo podcast we just done recently, I said, there'll come a time when Arsenal won't be able to score a goal. And, you know, that'll happen to them. Might happen to Manchester City before the end of the season. Who knows? Football's funny. But, you know what, for me, Les, you know, Do you know what's been the biggest disappointments in the last? Ben said since the Man United game, the 2-2 game. I think it's been since the FA Cup game. I think it's from the Manchester United FA Cup game. I don't think Liverpool have been, ever since that game, we've missed bucket loads of chances, and it's every single game. And you know, we talk about, you know, saying why doesn't it look like this goal? Because some of the players lack composure when they get there. I think what we say about Nunes, you say when he hasn't got time to think, he probably puts away a great chance. When he's got time to think, he looks very, very uncomposed, doesn't he? And he's been, to be fair, over the last 4 or 5 games, he's missed, him and Mo have missed the most chances. And you can't keep missing chances at this level, can you, and expect to win? As Peter just said there before, you know, we've rode our luck. We've rode our luck a lot this season. And you know, when we've come back and we've scored late goals, and we've been the mentality monsters. We've rescued, I think it's 28 points. Well, which we've rescued 28 points from losing positions. But you can't keep doing it all the time. And no. I thought the game against Atlanta was that, Les, where I thought,
yeah,
that's the game where, you know, where it doesn't matter how we played, we weren't going to score. Now we've done it again today. You don't get two games on the trot where it works against you. I think you just have to hold your hand up. You have to hold your hands up and say that your players lack composure when they got into the position to score.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to do better.
That's a fair comment, Tom. You know what I mean? You've got to have the composure, and I think that, you know, we've showed in the last two games that when it's mattered, that we haven't had the composure in front of goal, but it needs to come back, and it can come back as quick as it left us. You know, so we've got to keep our fingers crossed, Ben. So I'll go to you first. Who is your player of the match today?
Oh God. For his first half performance, I think Andy Robertson was the best player in a red shirt. Struggling to think of any others in the second half who got better, if truth be told. There wasn't really any standout performance, were there? There was quite a few sub-par performances. I think it was good to have Andy Robertson back on the pitch. I think he was trying to play his game, which we know and love. So for him, Les, for that reason, I'll give it to him.
Peter, you going for?
Yeah, I was going to say Robbo before Ben spoke. He was driving us on first half, especially, and I think even in the second half, he seems to show the most energy, running up and down that left, you know, the left side of the pitch. So I'd probably have to go for Robbo. Like Ben, I'm struggling. Cody Gakpo had a good little cameo again. He seemed to do well when he came on. And then after that, I know Ali made a really good save. They could have made it 2-0 midway, well, towards the end of the second half. But it was a bit like a Jersey Dudek against Milan save. I'm not too sure he knew much about it, and it went over the bar. But overall, the 90 minutes, I'd have to give it to Robbo.
Tom?
It's a treble, there's Andy Robbo. I think for getting the ball off the line, for his overall trying, you know, like to create something, and giving us width, and just overall his overall play. To be honest, I couldn't think of anybody else. You know, like Cody come on and done a little bit, didn't do too bad. I thought Trent come on and tried stuff, but he was just a little bit short. But overall, I think there's only Andy Robbo who performed anything like his best today.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a full house. I thought Robbo was by far Liverpool's best player today over 90 minutes. And the only other notable sort of mentions would be for the substitutes. I thought Gakpo was excellent when he come on. I thought Szoboszlai was really good when he come on as well. But apart from that, as Tom said, Trent done bits, didn't do anything really. out of the ordinary. But then it was his first, you know, probably 40 minutes back, you know, on the pitch for about 8 weeks. And I thought that Jota again looked sharp, but had a chance and didn't take it. So, yeah, we, you know, we come out of a game that we all expected Liverpool to win with no points at all. So, Tom, looking back at the game last Thursday, you know, before we previewed the second leg, it was a really disjointed and unbalanced team selection, wasn't it, from the start? Harvey Elliott up front, you know, Curtis Jones in midfield with McAllister and Endo, you know, Gakpo getting the start up front with Nunes. And I think the big surprise on the team sheet was me, was Kostas, who had really a night to forget, didn't he?
Oh God, I think overall it seems like you said on what you called when we were chatting afterwards, and you said, you know, you thought it was like a lineup for, you know, like an away leg of a European game rather than a, you know, like a home game. It's like one where you're looking to sort of like to kill a game, you know, rather than to go out and win one. I think. And that's how it proved. I think it gave them the impetus. And do you know what, Les? Do you know when we talk about football and we talk about, you know, great things and things that you see? Do you know what? You've got to give credit to Gasperini for his tactics, you know, with Atalanta. I thought he got every call right. You know, like he's seen the team that we put out and he exploited that team masterfully. I thought, you know, I only hope that we learn from the lessons of Atlanta and we build on it for the second leg when we do play them and we go out with a more positive attitude.
Yeah, Pete, it was an unbalanced team, wasn't it? And it was one, I think, that went, the team sheets got handed in around about 6:45 on Thursday night. The Atlanta looked at that and thought, you know, something we've got to, we're going to tweak our game plan here because this is nowhere near as strong as what we expected Liverpool to be. And, you know, as I said before, the team looked totally unbalanced. And while I could understand possibly why some of the selections were made, the one that really baffled me was the one at left back. When you think that Robbo had missed the midweek, the first game back, sorry, after the internationals, he'd only come on as sub in the midweek game against Sheffield United, and then he'd started against Manchester United. So he'd only started the game and a half. And yet he put him on the bench the other night and started Kostas. When I think that, you know, my opinion, Robbo needed minutes to get his rhythm back. And he hasn't been overplayed. So I thought that was a real sort of strange selection, the one at left back. And I do think it was a team that I would have looked at if we'd have been playing. That team would have been named for the second leg on Thursday after Liverpool had won the first leg 2-0. I'd have been looking at that team and saying, yeah, That's a fair selection to keep hold of your 2-goal lead when you've got the big guns on the bench. But it was a real surprise in selection for the first leg, Pete.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple. You know, the other option, you could have played Joe Gomez as a left-back and played Conor Bradley from the start. Up front was a bit... I don't think Harvey Elliott, as good as he's been this season, is an out-and-out replacement striker, if you want, for where Mo Salah plays. And I thought we should have gone stronger. I think it was 6 changes that we made, wasn't it? And I don't know if there's a bit of complacency on Jurgen Klopp's part, or I don't know, but I don't know. It was disjointed. It did look disjointed. But as I say, we had a chance or two before they scored, and that could have just changed the whole complexion of it. But yeah, I mean, Kostas at left back had a torrid game. He seems to be putting on him and also on our right side as well. And I think a lot of teams are doing that. But fair play to Atalanta, to be honest. They pressed very well against us. And they looked a yard, they looked a yard ahead of us, to be honest. They looked a yard fitter than us, if that's the right terminology. They were very quick in the tackle, and we didn't win a lot of second ball. They were sort of, taking it that way, and it wasn't a surprise really when they got the first goal. And once again, they had chances. I mean, I think Kelleher made a good save against that Coop Miner and stuff that was 1-on-1. And they had chances to go further ahead in the first half. So it was disappointing, but it just didn't seem the team that he started with. It didn't seem right somewhere. It just was imbalanced, and it was up front for me. I mean, I'd always play Nunes on the left side of the front three and have someone going through the middle, and it, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just didn't work. And like you say, like Tom said, I think their coach was very astute the way he played it. And, at the end of the day, they fully deserved the win, to be honest.
Ben, it was, we had the opportunity with Harvey at the bar, and I'll sort of put my colours firmly to the mast there. Harvey is not a right-sided forward. He's not quick enough. He needs to play in midfield, and he's most effective when he's got people running off him, and he can use his wonderful left foot to create stuff and to play people in. When he plays up front, and you were probably getting the same vibes as I was watching it from the cop, there was actually no width. Elliot and Gakpo were coming inside, and there was absolutely zero width. So the game was all condensed, right in the centre of the field. So Liverpool were hardly creating anything, especially in the first half. And then, Costas sort of, had an horrendous 45 minutes, which culminated in being responsible for giving, the first goal away. And, from then on, we were always facing an uphill task to get back in the game, even though, there was three changes made at half time, to try and get the balance of the team right. And the balance of the team was better second half. But again, we created the chances and didn't take them, a bit like, just rewinding to what we've just said about today's game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we could have been talking about a completely different game if Nunes would have scored after about 2 minutes, which was one of the best chances of the game, and that was as bad, I think, as Jones has missed today. It's just one of them. But when you look at the team, again, I've talked about it. We didn't make the pitch big again. We had a midfield three of Jones, Endo, and McAllister. As good as those three players are individually, there's no width there. And the front three of Elliot, Nunes, and Gakpo. Gakpo was probably the best player on the pitch for the first 45 minutes. And then your fullbacks of Joe Gomez and Tsimikas. The width there is going to come from Tsimikas, isn't it? But he was atrocious. And I'm sure he'll hold his hands up and admit that it was not a good game from him. But Gomez wasn't much better. And I swear to God, we get it more in cup games than the league games. But whoever shouts shoot for Gomez, and he got carried away in the second half because he unleashed one from about 30 yards. And I, honest to God, like, I can't repeat what I said.
It was Dejan Lovren, wasn't it,
Oh,
in
yeah. But it was
the
just like, I mean, for God's sake,
FA
he hasn't scored in 9 years for the football club. What gives him the right to shoot from that
Cup? I mean,
point?
I just wish the Vincent Company would have done the same,
Oh,
that because
can
he
we,
was around about the same age,
Les,
wasn't
can we not talk about that? That's still one of my worst moments watching a
he?
game. That Vincent Kompany thing has just absolutely broke me. but unfortunately for Joe. Christ, he was nowhere near it, was he? It was just, I think I'm probably wrong here. It just stunk of complacency from the team. Like, I don't know if the, obviously what the crowd were doing before the game with the protest, I don't think that had any implication on the team, but it's sad when you look back when you think that that's probably Jürgen's last game in Europe for us, and that's the way he's going to bow out. But we won't get into the politics of that. I just think the whole game, when you look back on it now, I was listening to Merseyside on the way in, and they were talking about trying to, it'd be great to get the game done tonight so we can take the kids out there. That kind of comment's not good. They're not a bad team. I know they're sixth in the Italian league, and I was listening to that James Horncastle, I think, after the game. He's brilliant, him. Like, I listen to podcasts with him in on. It's great listening to these journalists rather than the likes of Rio Ferdinand and stuff that just give clickbait out. But he was saying about the manager, and how he's developed a lot of the upcoming managers in Serie A now that they've played under him. And I thought that was really interesting because I'll hold my hands up. I didn't know that. Is it Gasperini? Is that his name?
Gasperini.
Yeah, but I mean, he did a job on us. He did. He got it spot on. They're a really strong team, aren't they? They're a big team, but they're technical as well. That lad up front, the smacker, who's I think he's on loan from West Ham, isn't he?
Yeah.
He looks really useful. He could have had a hat trick. Easily could have had a hat trick. And that scoreline didn't flatter at Atalanta at all. But flipping the coin here, I don't think this tie's dead. I genuinely don't. And it goes against the way we've been playing of late. But I don't think this is over. I could be wrong. I just don't think it is. And I would go completely against Jamie Carragher. I would not go weak out there. I would go as strong as we possibly can.
Tom, Ben made a good point there, didn't he? Because you actually said, I think it was a tweet, and I thought what you said in your tweet was absolutely spot on. And you said that every fan who went to that game the other night from the and through the management and through to the players thought that Liverpool were already in Dublin and they only had to turn up basically to win. And there was complacency from everybody. And in a way, and I'm not going to get into the politics of the flags, but in a way, even that sort of protest was a little bit, well, we can do it against Atlanta because it's a game we should win anyway. So it won't make any difference, if you see what I mean. And I'm not saying that the lack of flags at the game was the reason, but it's just another symptom of everybody who was going to the game thinking, well, it's only Atlanta, the sixth in the Italian league. We're going for the Premier League. No matter what team we play them. And Ben just said there, on Radio Mayor said, let's get that done and send the kids out for the second leg. You've got to show these teams respect. And I didn't think there was respect because the start lineup wasn't balanced. And the respect started at half time. We were already a goal down when Jürgen made the three changes. But from that time, you've already lost 45 minutes of your home advantage. So what was your view on that?
You know what I felt? I felt like we were all talking about everybody I was talking about during the week when we were talking about the game. Everyone was saying the same sort of thing. We were all talking about the Benfica. Or Marseille, who we were going to play in the next round, that you felt the players underestimated them as well. And like what Ben said there, that the Lions sixth in the league, but the table sometimes lies when you look at them. They went to Napoli and absolutely tonked Napoli 3-0. The game before, I think it was the game before or the game before that, and give a masterclass. He's a wise old owl, Gasperini, Les. I'd seen a little thing about him. Ali had told me about him ages ago. He talked, when Conte talked, that's how he based his game on how Gasperini plays the game. He plays with this defensive, like strong, a stronghold, and he plays like through the midfield. He has a big, strong, physical side, and that's what he done to Liverpool. He came here. And he'd done a job on Liverpool. And like Ben says, I don't think the tie is dead, but I think Liverpool will have to show them respect in the second leg when we go out there and we'll go strong if we're going to go and try and do it. But we need to score first. We're going to have to start fast, score first. And yeah, I think we can get back into the game. But the no mugs, everyone was saying, oh, it's only the Europa League, it's only the hardest game we'll have is when we get to the final against Leverkusen. You can't disrespect these teams. And like Ben said, when you're 1-0 down, and what you said, you know, we give away 45 minutes of our you know, like at home advantage, and even the crowd was flat, wasn't it? And you know, even I'm not saying the protest made any difference, but you just felt everybody there was thinking, well, this is a shearing, you know,
Yeah.
like so, like, and I think it comes at a major shock to them, you know. They started to wake up, as you said, Costas was woeful, you know. Like, and I said to you, I said to you, in the tweet, I said, I sent to you at half time, I said, I would have took Costas, Endo, and Jones off for the three of them, because I didn't think either had offered anything in the first half. But we played a little bit better and a lot better in the second half. And agreeing with what Ben said, I thought Gakpo, when he come on, made all the difference. Thought at least he tried to give us width, at least he tried to get behind them. But you know, it wasn't to be on the night. And Mo was a bit unlucky with the goal. I thought that had gone in. Yeah, a 2-1. We would have been. It would have pulled the goal back, and we would have had a bit of a chance. But as you say, it's over, and we move on to the next game.
Yeah, Pete, I didn't see the second goal on Thursday because I was too busy watching Darwin Núñez to see who he was giving his shirt to, because he was walking off after just being substituted, and he's walking behind the goal and he's giving his shirt to somebody, and next thing I heard the roar and looked up and seen the ball was in the back of the net. And then obviously supposedly I lost the ball for the third one, and Liverpool just had numerous chances, didn't he, to get back into the game, but once again, just didn't take him.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness to Atalanta, they had more chances as well. That Koop Meiners had a really good chance and he screwed it wide when he should have hit the target. But the second goal, I think the lad on the wing, he had the freedom of Anfield. There was just nothing. And then when he put it into the middle, I don't think there was anyone within 10, 15 yards of him. And it was a good finish. It was a controlled finish. And I was saying to our Jack, I said, it just shows you what a good coach can do to these players, because at West Ham, he couldn't hit a barn door for some reason, could he? I mean, I know the two lads, I don't know about your opinion, I think it's over myself. I hate to say that I always try to be optimistic, but I think it's too far, this one. I can't see us scoring three and not conceding over there, to be honest. So I don't think the fat lady's singing yet, but I think she's gargling with the TCP, and she's tuning up, I think, you know. I just think it'll be too much, but I agree with Ben. I think we should go strong, really, and at least make a fist of it. But I just think if we, if we get an early goal, it'll make it interesting. But I just think if we push and push to try and save it, I think they've got quality in that Atalanta team to crucify us on the break. So I'm not as confident as the other two lads.
Pete, I
Go
just
ahead.
think if we don't go strong on Thursday, it sets a horrible
Yeah,
mentality for the rest of the season. And
that's what I'm saying. By
I
all
think
means.
I'm not saying it's going to happen by any stretch of the imagination, but we talked about that Vincent Kompany goal, and then the next day we beat Barcelona, didn't we?
Oh yeah. I mean,
4-0. So,
I'm not saying that. I think we should go strong,
yeah.
but I just think he'll also have, don't forget when we get back from Atalanta, we play Fulham, Everton, and West Ham all
Yeah,
away within
all the way.
7 days. And there's got to be some rotation there. And I mean, I said when we did the 10 games to go program, where we had a little bit of a, I thought Everton was going to be the hardest game because of it's Everton. They're just going to make it horrible for us. But now that we've suffered this, the first leg against Atalanta, yeah, we've got to go for it. I just don't think we've got it in us to turn it around. Like Les said, we haven't scored enough goals lately, and I can't see us scoring three. So I think the last thing we want is extra time as well
The
going
thing
into the
is, though,
game.
like you say, we haven't got it in us, but the amount of chances we're creating, we've got it in us to put some of them away. And you never know, it could be one of those games where we create less chances, but we put half of them away.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a good point, but I mean, somewhere down the line, we've got to create these chances, and we have got to put them away. Now, whether it comes, if you ask me, what my preference is, it's still the Premier League. Put the chances
Yeah.
away and get the points in the Premier League.
Yeah, of course,
You
but I want the one that's in our hands, and I
yeah, you
just,
can be up
yeah.
for the next game, certainly, but I think the one thing I would do is probably give Jota a start on Thursday.
Well, go on, Pete.
Again.
As you sort of just bringing up, give us your starting 11 rather than me having to come back to you.
I haven't really gone through it, but it certainly starts strong. So I'd probably keep Ali in goal. I think Conor Bradley took a bad one today, didn't he? I don't know if he's going to be fit. It looked a nasty injury there. So if that's the case, I'd probably Trent get a start. Robbo, Van Dijk, possibly Kwanzaa. I didn't think Kanasi was that good today either. His distribution and bringing the ball out very slow. Midfield. I'd probably have to go Endo, McAllister, and Szoboszlai. And then up front, I'd probably say Nunez, Salah, and Jota.
Tom, what would you sort of do?
I'd go exactly the same at the back with Trent and Ali, and I'd go with Kwanzaa in place of Konate. In midfield, I'd go with Maka as the six. I would go with Szoboszlai, and I'd go with Gravenberchler in midfield. Up front, I would do what we'd done. I would go with Diaz. I'd go with Jota, and I'd go with Nunez out on the wing. I'd leave out Mo, and I'd leave out Gakpo. I'd bring Gakpo on, but I'd go when we were scoring goals for fun. It was when we left Mo out, and I think I'd go without Mo, and
You go,
I'd
you
take
go with,
Dan's, I'd
you
take
go with,
Dan's as well. Go on.
sorry, Tom. So just to clarify, you go with Diaz, Nunez, and Jota up front.
Yeah, did
Yeah,
I say that? Yeah.
I think you had Gakpo in there. I think I was
No,
just
I
about
meant
confused.
Jota. No, when with Nunez, Diaz, and Jota, I'd go with the three. I think we, I'd move just, I'd move Nunez out of the centre to the wing.
Yeah. What do you think, Ben?
So, Ali in goal, Robbo and Trent, fullbacks, Van Dijk, and I don't really care who the other centre half is. If I was picking it, it would probably be Kwanzaa, because I can't see Eboué playing 3 games in a week. And to be fair, I think he's been poor. So I'd play Kwanzaa. Midfield, I'm torn on it because I can understand the reason for dropping Endo. But I think McAllister plays better when he's next to him. So I can't decide on it. But I think McAllister definitely starts. I don't think Szoboszlai starts because I think he's been poor. Gravenberch's a good shout. I didn't even consider him. But I think Elliot possibly starts. So I'd be tempted to go Elliot, Endo, and McAllister as the three. Give it the first half anyway. And then I would play Nunez on the wing, Salah on the opposite wing, with either Jota or Gakpo through the centre. Probably Jota.
One thing I will say about your midfield there is a distinct lack of pace within the three of them in there with the midfield. And also the third, second thing I would add is they would be like Sabutio players compared to theirs, because they were a unit. They were quite big, and our
I
midfield.
just think though, like if we play our game and dictate the pace, it doesn't
Yeah.
really matter. But it's all about the mentality of the team and how we come out and press. Like if Trent and Robbo were offering us whip, I think the midfield be fine. But what I would say is, I think it might have been Tom that pointed out earlier on. I don't want to see Trent in this inverted role. I genuinely don't. I just want him to stay on the right and stretch the
But
pitch like he did when we won the league.
I don't think he will, Ben. I think he will when he
No, I
plays.
don't think he will either, Les, but I want him to. I want him to.
I'll be
That
honest,
the
I don't like these inverted roles
no,
because
I
teams are
don't
getting
either.
wise to us now.
Yeah,
They
I
just,
don't.
I mean, Robbo did it a lot today, and as I say, I thought he was our best player. But when they go on their walkabouts, the two fullbacks, and Joe Gomez has done it, and even Costas tried to do it the other night, leaves an awful bloody hole at the back on each flank. And I think it's about time
Yeah.
we sort of dip that in the bud now and say, look, you know, these are. I think you can play stuff like that if you're playing three centre halves. And that's another story. If you've got three centre backs and you've got a bit of cover, let your full backs go on a bit of a wander. But when this inverted role, everyone's got wise to us now. And as soon as we lose possession, they're just hitting diagonals on us. And that's where we're suffering.
Yeah, I would on Thursday, I'd have a little tweak to what you've all said, really. I would go Ali in goal, and my back four would be Joe Gomez, Kwanzaa, Van Dijk, and Robbo. And I would play Trent in the six. I would then play Szoboszlai and McAllister. And then up front, I would start with Gakpo, I would start with Diaz, and I would start with Jota. And that would be my front three. And then for the weekend, I would then look to do what Tom said and think that that was the best I think Liverpool have looked off up front all season. And I'd start with Diaz, Jota, and
Yes.
Nunez, right? Because I thought they linked really well. But I think Nunez needs a rest. I think he's running a little bit on empty, which is why the energy and chaos hasn't been there yet. I agree with everything. He does need to work on his finishing, but I think if you could, you know, if you rest him and you rest Mo, I just think that they might be able to come on if, you know, and Elliot is another one. So you've got options there from the bench. If Liverpool can get the first goal, and even if we're only 1-0 up at half time, I think Liverpool have still got a really good chance of going through. So I know Pete is a little bit pessimistic on this one. So we'll come to you last on this one, Pete. And I'm going to ask Tom to go first. And what's your prediction for Thursday night?
Do you know what, Les? I've got a funny feeling. You know what? We're never go I get the feeling we're never going to play that bad again. And I can't believe Jürgen will be outsmarted twice by Gasperini, even though he's as good a coach as he is. I think you know what might work against them this time was the way they celebrated as if they were through. So I think that might backfire on them. They might be expecting, you know, like an easier game. I think Liverpool will go through, Les.
So you're not giving us a scoreline, you're just going to
Well,
say Liverpool will go through.
I think,
That
well,
that's fair enough, Tom.
they're gonna have to be 3-0 up at full time, to be honest.
Yeah. No, that's fine. You can say the Liverpool are going to
I
go
think I
through.
think Liverpool will win 3-0, and I think it'll go to extra time.
Ben, where are you going?
Right, so it's on Thursday night, isn't it? Right, so I'm going on a stag do to Poland on Friday, and it's going to start early if we go through on Thursday. So I'm going to be bold here, Les. I'm going to go 5-1.
Five one, bloody hell!
So,
That's a beauty.
I mean, right,
Fucking hell!
because right, and I'm going to give you the reasons why now.
God, you've
Right.
been praying.
Well, I might have been praying, but that's fallen on deaf ears after today, Tom. I'll tell you that. I just think with the it's going to go against everything that I've been saying. The amount of chances that we've been creating of late, we're gonna score soon, and as soon as we do, I think we're going to go on a roll. Like, we look so nervous at the moment, and I think it's because we keep on conceding early. If we were to score early, I think we'll give someone a hiding. I genuinely do. So I'm going to go out and say 5-1. More me heart than me head. But we'll see, won't we? What's the point of being a fan if you've got no faith?
Come on, Pete, Mr. Pessimistic. Come on, give us your scoreline for Thursday.
I'd rather be called Mr. Realistic than Mr. Pessimistic.
Oh, put him on mute. Put him on mute.
I think we can win, but I think it'll be maybe 2-1.
Two one.
I can't see us pulling it round.
Boo.
I can't see us pulling that. I really hope that you're slagging me off next time we speak and you say, yeah, I'd have told you, but I just can't see us pulling it around. If it was at Anfield and it was the second leg, I'd maybe be a bit more adventurous, but I think I'll know
I
the
think it's
solicitor,
better
you
that
know.
it's not Anfield, you know.
So do I.
Because the
I don't
atmosphere
know.
at the moment at Anfield is just.
Yeah, but if imagine, you know, we all talk about the Barcelona game where we were three down. The atmosphere that night was fantastic, and they'd have to create that. I just don't forget when we beat them 5-0 over there. It was behind closed door. Well, it was the lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
All we need to.
I think it's a
Oh,
tight
he's
ground. We've got
imagine
seven.
if we grabbed a goal in the first 10 or 15 minutes, you know, and all of a sudden you're 1-0 up, and then they start. You did. I don't care who they are. If Liverpool start quickly and get a goal early, and like
It's all
with the
going
players
against.
you've got.
It's all going against the grain, though, Tom. We aren't starting quickly. We are conceding goals, and we're not scoring goals.
No, but
And
that's what
I'm
I'm
going to
saying,
last.
Peter. It
That's not
can't
going to
go on
last
forever.
forever, though, is it?
We're
Because
too good
what
for
is
this,
it now?
yeah. It what
It can't
it.
go on forever, but I just see this as it's a tight little ground. We've only got 750, 800 fans going over there, of which the club, by the way, creamed off 49% of the bloody tickets. So there's
There's
lads who've
only,
been.
I think it's only 23,000 or 24,000
Yeah,
or something.
there's lads and girls who've been doing the European tour for years who haven't even qualified for the tickets. And that's just another subject. But they've given 49% of the tickets to the posh knobs, shall I
Well,
call them. And
Peter,
it's not on.
that's the way football is now, and that's part of the reason
Well,
why the
maybe
atmosphere
try.
was like it was in the first game of the process. But all we need on Thursday is to be 1-0 up at half time. That's all we need.
Yeah,
So yeah.
oh, and I would just say, we don't have to be three up after 20 minutes. We
No.
just need
Be
to
nice though, wouldn't
steady.
it?
I just feel like we aren't in a position to keep a clean sheet and score enough goals. And I hope I'm totally wrong, but I
You
can't
know
see it.
what, Pete? I've got this. You know this feel. We're gonna wallop someone soon. You really, it, you cannot, you cannot, cannot, cannot keep creating 20 odd shots on goal, and you cannot keep hitting 10 and 12 and 14 shots on target and not score.
We had another 20 odd shots today. I
No,
think
we did, yeah.
eight
I
on
know.
target or seven on target. We've got to be more clinical, but
I know it's just
I
so
just feel
the.
it's. I just think they'll have the measure of us, and I think we could win the game and probably get a little bit of respect back and a bit of pride back. But I can't see us putting them out. I hope I'm totally wrong. Like.
What about you, Mr. Lawson?
Guys, I'm in your camp, Tom. I
Good.
think it's going to be 3-0 at the end of 90 minutes. And I think that it could even go to penalties, to be fair. But I do think if Liverpool are 1-0 up at half time, a minimum of 1-0 up at half time, I think we've got a really good chance of going through. So I'm sort of, and I think it's like a percentage wise, it give us probably a 40% chance of going through, but I'm still optimistic that we will do it. I just want to ask you one question before we finish the podcast, really, and I want to start with you, Tom. And it's something that you've all touched on during the early part of the podcast. But forget about the Atlanta game for a minute because we've just touched on that. Do you think the fact that Liverpool have now got three away games on the bounce in the league will actually help the team rather than having, say they were three home games because the crowd are obviously nervous and it's a different support away from home. So, and opposition are going to play slightly different, because they're the home team. So do you think those three away games, we were looking at them and think, oh, you know, this could be a mountain to climb. But do you think they could help us a little bit?
Yeah, it's most certainly, Les. It's a totally different ball game, isn't it? Even against Manchester United in the two games that we went, like when teams come out at us, like Fulham are going to come out at you, West Ham are going to come out at you because they're seeing us as a lame duck at the moment. They're thinking we're there for the taking. So they, like West Ham got taunted today by Fulham, so at home, So I reckon I reckon the away game might come. Three away games might be good for us, and especially if we get a win in Atlanta.
Atlanta. You know, like you wouldn't imagine the lift that would give going into the Fulham game.
Yeah.
And as you say, we've got, you know, like the bench looks so much stronger than it. And you know what else I'd do, Les, if I was Jurgen Klopp, and you've got nothing to lose here now. I'd throw Jadon Dans on the bench, mate. You know, like,
yeah,
you've got absolutely nothing to lose. He plays without fear, that kid. And, like, sometimes you need that in front of goal when you've got somebody who's not afraid. You know, like, his time will come where he has to start thinking about panicking in front of goal, but he's a free spirit at the moment. You know, like,
yeah.
I would use him from now in them four games. Definitely.
Yeah. Good shout, that's from Ben. How are you feeling the three away games? You think they could be a little bit of a blessing in disguise that we're now away from Anfield with the anxiety of the fans sort of, you know, taken away from the ingredients for the minute?
Possibly. I don't know, I said that before. We haven't been that great on the road either, have we? Let's be honest about it. On paper, the games which we shouldn't be overly concerned about, but again, we shouldn't have been concerned about Palace at home, and that didn't go well, did it? It might play into our hands. The atmosphere was not great today. It felt, for the first time in a long time, discount Thursday, the crowd felt anxious in the first half. We've talked about this a lot in the pod this season, where there's been a calmness, where the fans have trusted the team, if they do go a goal behind, to play their way back into the game, and the mentality monsters came back. But you can only do that so many times. You can't keep doing it and expecting to get the same result. It's just not going to happen. It probably is. The only thing that makes me worried is it's a lot of travelling. Three away games on the bounce. The players aren't going to be at home. We're not going to be training much. They're going to be... It's sleeping in hotels. We don't know what effect that's going to be. And to do it three times on the trot plus at Atlanta, I don't think I can sit here confidently and say we'll get 9 points from those three games in the league. I hope I'm wrong on that. We'll see. I would like one of them to be at home.
So Pete's just passed his pessimistic baton to you now, Ben.
No, I don't think it's pessimism. I just think it's tough, Les. I think it's really tough to play. I can't remember us doing it very often, playing three away games on the bounce in the league.
It's realism ballad then, whichever way you want to call it. So Pete, what's your view on this three away games on the bounce? You think, I mean, Anfield was anxious today. You know, the fans tried their best, but you know, they're desperate to win the league, and you know, the anxiety was there for all to see, and you know, and it's difficult when a player misplaces a pass, or you know, just that big groan, and you know, I think the players were then feeling that. Whereas you know, if they're playing away, that might be taken away from them. I'm just sort of trying to play a little bit of devil's advocate here. So just wondered what you're thinking.
I think it'll be a tough week, to be honest, to do. You know, if you start off with the Atalanta, it's not a million miles away, certainly, but it's still travelling, isn't it? And then we're down to Fulham, which is always a good, you know, because it's a tight ground, there's a good atmosphere there, they always get behind the team. Everton speaks for itself. They would like nothing better than to put one over on us. Probably out of three, probably the most comfortable, I suppose. From an atmosphere point of view, we'd probably say West Ham, because it's not really like a football ground. It is an athletics ground with the football pitch in the middle of it. So atmosphere-wise, I would say West Ham we could cope. But I think it's going to be a big ask to travel from Italy to London and then back up again for a derby match and then back down again to London for another game. The only thing I'd say about three games coming in quick succession like that is if we can get a good result, like you say, in Italy, the players want to play the next day, don't they? When you're playing well and getting results, you know, the players would play every day. So if we can get a good result in the first league game against Fulham, the first league game of the three, if we can beat Fulham, There's no reason why we can't go into the derby with confidence. And then if we win that as well, take it to West Ham. But I think it's going to be an awful tough week, to be honest.
Do you know what the funny thing, though, Pete? We've got, you know what, a lot of these players coming back have had long spells out, haven't they? You know, yeah. A couple of them are going to be quite fresh. You know, like, not leg weary. The likes of, you know, like Curtis, eventually he's going to hit some form of form. The same with Trent, you know, like, so Szoboszlai is coming back from injury. You know, Gravenberch coming back from injury. Jota, they've all been out for long periods of time. So they've had a rest while they've been out. So I think, like, the games, and I think we can change it, but we can change it about a little bit, can't we? We can, you know, freshen it up by players that we've got. So I think, you know, I think three games is like, although it's the three games, they're not even Everton will be a difficult game, but like the other two, they're winnable.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I think there's going to be a big, you know, quite a bit of rotation. Because like you say, people are coming back. As I say, Conor Bradley looks like it was a bad knock today.
Don't think you'll see him again now, please.
I think he's done this season, though. Yeah, there'll be changes. But as I say, if you win the first of the three league games, you know, the players want to play the next one right away. They want to get into that rhythm, don't they?
Yeah. So, I mean, what I will say to finish off is that, you know, there's the three winnable games, and I do think, you know, you've all hit the nail on the head. If you win the first one, and I'm talking about the league games here now, if you win the first one, you can take the momentum into the second and then win that one and you've got your momentum back. And all of a sudden, you know, the Crystal Palace result, I wouldn't say it's forgot about, but all of a sudden you've got a new optimism to take into the West Ham game. And then from the West Ham game, you know, we might have a free week then until we play Tottenham. So, and the other thing I will say is, and the lads will remember this, Ben might not, but Tom and Pete certainly will. I can remember probably at a certain, probably a similar stage to the season, walking out of Anfield in 1986 after Liverpool had lost 2-0 at home to Everton and thinking that was our season done. Everton had won the league and retained the league after winning it in 1985. And then good old Les Phillips and Oxford came to our salvation. Oxford beat Everton, and Oxford were fighting the relegation battle at the time. Oxford beat Everton, Liverpool beat Leicester, and then went and won at Chelsea for the first time in many years to win the league. So, you know, there is hope. The Arsenal result today has given us new hope, and now we've got to look to see if the 115ers can drop some points somewhere. And I think they're due to do so. So keep your heads up. Keep believing. Nothing's over till it's over. I think as somebody tweeted me before, and they said, the fat lady hasn't even started warbling yet. And I replied to him and said, at 4 o'clock, I think she was warming up. But now she sat back down on the bench again. After the Arsenal results, so we shall see. But keep
Les,
the faith.
Just before you round off, just like to mention the Crystal Palace fans today. They were immaculate in the silence for Hillsborough. And I say it every year about Crystal Palace. They come up, they give the team total support, and you don't hear them, you know, with the usual chants that we all know about that we hate in Liverpool and tragedy chanting and calling us Robin, this, that and the other. So just a nice word for the Palace fans once again. They were fantastic today.
Totally agree, Pete.
Yeah, 100%.
Well said, Pete. 100%. On that note, we'll end this podcast. Due respect to the 97, you know, with the 35th anniversary being tomorrow, we've got a special podcast coming up with Jenny Hicks. So have a listen to that. It's pretty hard going stuff at times, so be prepared. But it's a really good podcast. And again, thanks to Jenny for joining us. As I always say, and end the podcast, justice for the 97. Don't bite the sun, or you'll never walk alone. And until next time, see you soon.